Praise the Lord. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our divine service of the Holiness Christian Church of the Bronx. This morning, we have come into His presence with praise and thanksgiving for preserving us throughout the week and have given us this great opportunity to connect again in worship. And I say connect again because God has done this over and over again, and we are indeed grateful. So as we come to worship this morning, let us forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Praise the Lord. I'm going to invite our sister, Lloydine Mills, at this time to lead us into our praise and worship.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today looking to You, our strength. We thank You for all Your provisions, for the breath of life, for health and strength. We give You thanks. We want to thank You for a new day. Thank You for new mercies and grace. And my prayer today is that we will worship You in spirit and in truth, and that You will open the eyes of our hearts so that we may see You. God, You know what we need, and You know our individual hearts' desires, and I ask that You grant it to us according to Your will. We need You today and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is so worthy. So great. Our God is so great. So great. We give You thanks this morning, Jesus. What are You turned into wine? You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You. None like You. Into the darkness You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like You, none like You. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. Lord, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, water You turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You, none like You. Into the darkness You shine, and out of the ashes arise. No one like You, none like You. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. Lord, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. Lord, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome and power. Our God, our God. Our God is stronger, God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome and power, our God, our God. Our God.
day again. Mm-hmm. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand again? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. And if our God is for us, then what could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against? And our God is greater, our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. Lord, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
Hallelujah, God, you are greater, you are stronger, you are mightier than any other. And I just want to encourage us this morning that God is greater and he is bigger than our circumstances. Whatever it is that you think is so big that you cannot get over, I'm here to tell you that God is greater and bigger than any of all our problems. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Thank you for being a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you. We praise your name, God. God is here this morning. He is here this morning. In Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. Let's welcome God this morning in our hearts and in our homes. There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere. Won't you sing with me this morning? The sweet anointing in the sanctuary. There is a stillness.
darkness and the adversary, who come and lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary, God is here. He is here. He is here. To break the yoke, to lift the heavy burden, He
hearts, and He is here with us in our lives, and I just want to encourage us to keep trusting Him, because He really does listen to our prayers, and He really does answer us. Hallelujah. We bless Your holy name, God. I now hand over the rest of the service back to Evangelist Bardwell.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, my sister. Thank you for ministering to us, and I pray that God would continue to bless you as you minister for Him. It's so reassuring this morning to know that God is here. We are not connected online just to carry out some rituals, but we know that God is here. God is not limited to time or space. God is not limited to just being in the church, but He's everywhere. He's omnipresent, and we know He's here this morning. He's here to lift the heavy burdens. He's here to break the yoke. Hallelujah. He's here to make a difference. And this is why we come, we connect like this morning, because we have confidence that he's here. He hears our prayer, and something good is going to happen to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. At this time, we're going to have our opening prayer. Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness towards us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for seeing us through another week. Lord, it's all because of you where we are even alive this morning. It is in you that we live. It is in you that we move. It is in you that we have our being. And so all praise and glory be to your name, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord Jesus. You never fail us yet. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for being online with us this morning, as we are being assured, O God, that you are here to lift the heavy burden. O God, as we come before you, Lord, we are nothing in your sight, but we leave ourselves into your hands, and we pray that you would have your way with us this morning. We pray that you'd visit every person online this morning. O God, I pray that you'd help us not to leave the way we came, but Lord, help us to leave knowing that you have done something for us. Help us to leave it all at your feet, O God, because you have a way of fixing things. You have a way of taking control. You have a way of working some miracles, O God. That is all about you. And so we come this morning, Lord, casting ourselves at your feet. We pray that every life will be touched this morning. Those, O God, who are online, who are not feeling well, that you touch their bodies, O God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and cause that the bodies will be healed. O God, those who have come with some burdens this morning, I pray, God, that you'd intervene. You know what the burdens are. Those who are going through some difficulties, those who are jobless, those, O God, who have not even expressed or can't even express what's going on. But God, you who is our Father and who understand our deepest cares and our deepest hurts, you understand and you are able to do abundantly, O God, more than we are able to ask or think. And so we are praying for a touch from heaven this morning. O God, we pray that you would bless this service today. We pray that, Lord, everything that shall be done in this service, O God, will be done according to your will. Take control, Lord Jesus, O Father, and get the glory unto your name. Lord, I pray in a special way, Lord, for our leaders of this church. O God, our Pastor Newton. Lord, we thank you for what you have been doing in his life. Thank you, O God, for the miracles that you have wrought. And God, I pray that you continue to heal him, continue to touch him. Pray for Reverend Bardwell, O God, that you touch him also from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. O God, and allow his body to be made whole. I pray, dear Father, that you just continue to lead us. O Lord, we are in such a time, Lord, and we just need your direction. Oh, Father, even going back to the sanctuary and whatever we have to do, Lord, we look to you because, Lord, without your guidance, we will fail. So, Lord, take control, we pray, and get the glory and the praise and the honor due to your name. Cause that this service, Lord Jesus, oh, will be just centered around you. And as we send up the praises, oh, God, oh, Jesus, you would restore souls and revive us. Remember our brethren this morning, oh God, our elderly brethren who are at home, oh God, some of them are connected, some are not. But Lord, we pray most of all that you'd help them to be connected to you, oh, to have the sweet love of God flowing through their souls. Lord, we pray for our country, pray for the election coming up, oh God, as we have taken time out this week to be praying about this election, because God is of great concern to all of us. Lord, we are praying that you will just guide and lead, O Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you destroy all the enemy's plans. O God, the plans of violence, the plans, O God, that are against your will. I pray, Father, that you would subdue them all and cause, Lord Jesus, that this election will be done in fairness, O God, and in integrity. Lord, we give you the glory, the praise. Lord, there are things we can't do, but you are well able to do more than we can ask of you. We pray you continue to bless us and get the glory and praise to your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. At this time, we are going to have the opening hymn. It's number 162 from the church hymnal. To God be the glory. great things he has done. I'm going to invite our sister Mac to lead us in this hymn. To God be the glory.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So lovely the word that he gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great all rejoicing to Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. And give him the glory, great things he has done.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Mac. Praise the name of Jesus. God has done great things for us. We are glad. And the song says that we should give him the glory because great things he has done. And if you start to name the things, there are many, my brethren. Let us take time out to name the things that God has done in our lives and to give him the glory and the praise. Praise God. At this time, we are going to have our scripture reading. Taken from Psalm 103, 1 to 11, and Sister Lisa Hoyt will lead us in this reading. It's Psalm 103, 1 to 11.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 103, reading from verses 1 to 11. I will begin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. 11th and last. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercies towards them that fear him. Here ending this scripture lesson. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, sister, for reading for us this morning. Praise God for his words. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite our sister, Samantha Fisher, to come and welcome and the announcements.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Here are the announcements for today. Welcome to our Sunday service. Please continue to pray for our Pastor Newton, who is back today. He is no longer on medical leave, and you'll hear him later on in the service. Greetings to our Reverend Bridewell. Greetings to all the leaders and members. And if there are any first-time visitors, we welcome you. Please continue to pray for those who are sick and for those who have lost loved ones during this time. Great news, our church is reopening, and our reopening will begin next week, November 8th. All members can attend service beginning November 29th. In order to register for services for the 29th, please see the WhatsApp group for the link. If you click on the link, it will take you to a questionnaire, answer the questions, and then select the date you would like to attend the service and how many people will attend with you. After you submit the questionnaire, you'll receive a response letting you know if space is available. Remember, space is limited. If you would like to continue enjoying the service from your home, you can also watch the service live at holinesschristianchurch.org or on our YouTube page or Facebook page. You will also find the links to the live service in our WhatsApp group. Just click on the link and it will take you right into the service. So next week, just click on the link and it will take you right into the service. Our election prayer and fasting will end tomorrow. The church has held a 7-day fasting for the upcoming election. And as a reminder, the hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., or 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. Everyone is encouraged to participate. Praise Fest. Please remember, our holiday dinner is coming up on December 12th. Everyone is welcome to order tickets. Tickets are going fast. Place your order. The last day to place your order is December 1st. To place your order, please reach out to Sister Jessie Campbell or Sister Marlene Gordon. Their numbers are also in the WhatsApp group. And you can also place your order using the digital form. Please visit the church's website for more information. Please remember, the prayer meeting on this line is on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays from 6:30 to 7:30. a.m. and on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. Please visit the church's website, holinesschristianchurch.org, to find all the methods to give your tithes and offerings. The online donation method is available for those who wish to utilize it. Happy birthday to everyone who's celebrating their birthday in November, and a special happy birthday to Brother Christian and Sister Shirley Odom. Please bear the announcements in mind and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you for those announcements. It's a lot of new things that have been said in the announcements, like us going back to church to have our services done at church. And she, the secretary did say that the members, it's open to the members on the 29th of November. So we're going to start out with the leaders going in, and then the members will join us later on. And there's a way to for you to be in the service, and that is to answer the questionnaire that will be sent out. So there's a lot of new things are happening. So if you are not sure what to do, call up any of the leaders and get it straightened out. But most of the information is on the website. Okay, so if you're not too sure, not too clear how things are going, you call up any of the leaders of the church and they will help you to understand all of the announcements. Praise God. And this time we are going to pray the blessing on the morning's tithes and offering. We're going to ask God to bless the monies that have been sent in this week and the rest that will be coming in during the rest of this week, that God would bless and abundantly multiply this offering that will be sent, the tithes and the offering. I'm going to invite our deaconess, Beverly Brown, to come and pray this blessing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, we glorify your holy name and worship you and give you all our praise. Lord, our hallelujah belongs to you. Our highest praise belongs to you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity, Lord Jesus, to open our eyes and to breathe. Lord, thank you for the breath that you have given to us. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, to gather together, Lord God, to worship and to adore you, Lord God, and to lift our voices in thanksgiving. Father, as we present the tithes and the offering this morning, we pray for a special blessing. We pray, Lord God, for everyone, Lord, who was able to stretch their hands out to give or will be giving these coming weeks. Father, Lord, we pray, O God, for abundance in their lives. Father, that their store baskets will never go empty. That, Lord, all their vessels turned up, whether spiritually or physically, will be filled and running over. God, that they will not even be using what is in the vessel, but what has run over, abundant. Father, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that everyone on this line, Jesus, oh, Father, Lord, that their jobs will be preserved, especially in a such uncertain times coming up. God, that Lord Jesus, that no weapons that are formed against us, Lord, will prosper, Lord, financially. Lord, that you will bless, you'll open doors, Jesus, you'll give us favor. Lord, those, oh God, who are not working, we pray, God, that you will indeed open doors for them. God, and you'll find ways, Lord God, for them, Lord, to be financially stable. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for all those, Lord, who were able to give the pledges towards the women's department. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you will bless them, Lord God, 200, 300 fold, Lord Jesus, as they give, Lord God, out of what they had. Father, we pray, oh God, that you'll continue to bless the church, Lord, and that will this money, Lord, will be multiplied, Lord God, and that it will be used, oh God, Jesus, to continue, Lord Jesus, to build your kingdom here on earth. We give you glory, God, and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Praise God. Praise God for his blessings towards us. Praise God. Praise God. It's just a wonderful thing to come together like this to worship our Savior. And we have so much to worship him for, even the fact that we are alive. Some of us have not seen each other for a long time now, but we hear each other's voices sometimes on the line, and praise God. Praise God that he has made this possible. Praise the Lord. And as we go into the future, we are taking another step of faith to open up. We're just praying that the Lord will continue to be with us, and most of all, to strengthen us in the faith. Strengthen us and help us to be ready. Help us to be his workers until he comes. Praise God. At this time, we're going to have a special selection. I'm going to invite Sister Lisa Armstrong to come and to minister to us in song.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Thank God for his love and his mercy this morning towards us. I'm glad that he's always near. He's always near us. He's always listening. And I trust that this song will be a blessing to everyone, because God, he is our burden bearer. He is a problem solver. He will hear our cry, and he will answer our prayer. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis the royal service from his royal throne. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh, what a joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line, built by God the Father for his love and own. You can talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. There will be no charges. The telephone is free. It was built for service, just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line, built by God the Father for his very own. You can talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Telephone to glory, oh, what a joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line, built by God the Father for his very own. You can talk to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Praise the Lord for that wonderful song. We have the royal service. You know, one of the scriptures said that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And this song, we're listening up a line of the song that says it is built specially for us. The royal line is built specially for us, built by God the Father for his very own. Hallelujah. So we have this privilege, and I just pray that, brethren, we use up this royal telephone. We can talk to Jesus anytime. Hallelujah. And so whatever we are faced with, we are in such uncertain times, we don't even know what next will be happening from one moment to the next. But we have the royal telephone that is open to us, and we can access a call to Jesus. And whenever he steps in, he has a way of just fixing things. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. We have another reason this morning to praise the Lord for
Our Pastor Newton has been on medical leave for a couple of months now, and since that time, he has done his procedures, and they were all successful through the help of the Lord. Praise God. That is something to praise the Lord for. He's been recuperating very well, and this morning, I don't know if he's fully back, but I know he's doing his coming in phases, that's according to how he feels, and I think this morning is his first morning that he'll be able to bring us the word and to take up the rest of the service. And I just want to welcome you, Pastor, and let you know that we love you very much, and we are thankful that God, you know, has seen you through, so that you're able to come back to us. God bless you as you take over the rest of the service.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Father Will, and good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters, visitors, friends. It's good to be back. I just want to thank everybody for your prayers, for your support in every way during my time of absence, as it were, and I'm grateful for that, and more than all, I'm grateful to God that He has not given up on me. He has taken me through, and to Him be the glory, to Him be the praise. I am, as Sister Samantha said, I am back. Not fully back, but as I said a few weeks ago, I'm doing a phase resumption, and I'm glad that I am able, by God's help, to bring a word to us this morning. So I again want to thank the pulpit committee for the way they have been leading, and I will notify them when I'm fully back. But I'm, as I said, I'm available for, you know, service in every area except for Bible study right now. But that will be resuming very soon, I hope. So thank you all for your prayers, for your support, and for your wishes. And all praise, all thanks must be given to God. We are living in troublesome times, and we shouldn't be surprised, because that's what the Bible tells us, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And so when we see these things happening, when we see things happening, we should be looking up, realizing that our redemption draweth nigh. To God be the glory, the praise. This is the first Sunday in November. November has five Sundays, and I'm privileged to bring a word to us today. And as you are aware, on first Sundays, we always celebrate Holy Communion. So I hope that we are all prepared, ready, so that we can participate in this very important service. I have a word for us today, and it is taken from the third chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 14 to the end. Revelation chapter 3, 14 to the end. While you're finding it, it's very easy to find. It's the last book of the Bible, so it shouldn't give anybody any problem to find. Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 14 to verse 22, or to the end. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for health, for strength. Thank you for delivering us, Lord, for being our source, for being our strength. We honor you, Lord. We adore you. We magnify you, because none else could do what you have done and what you are doing. And we acknowledge, Lord, your grace and your mercies, your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to meet together this day, a new month, a month, Lord, that we do not know what lies ahead, but we can see and we can hear some things that are likely to happen. We know that we are having an election on Tuesday, but we don't know what the aftermath will be. Some are planning different things than it should have been, but you are in control, and so we commit everything into your hand, especially going through this week. Lord, thou knowest all, and no one can alter your plans. No one can put a difference in what you want to happen. So we commit everything into your hands, and we ask for your blessing on us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'll be speaking today, as I said, from Revelation chapter 3, from verse 14 to the end. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things said the Amen, and the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. May God bless his words to our hearts today. The topic that I would like to speak on is the neutral church. The neutral church, or the neutral Christian. To be neutral means neither negative or positive. Indifferent. The disengaged position or gears in which they do not transmit power from the engine to the operating parts. That has to do with a motor vehicle. But to be neutral is neither negative or positive. And I look at this, and when I see what Jesus said about the church, it concerns me. If you look at from chapter 2, coming down, seven letters were sent to seven churches. And when we look at the introduction of these other six churches, to the church at Ephesus, he wrote and says, the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. But the other four churches, he mentioned the church in Philadelphia, or Smyrna, or all the other five. It says, to the church in such a location. But to the church of Laodicea, he says, the angel of the church of the Laodicean. That seems to me that it was not a particular location. But there were these type of people around, although it's mentioned as a church. Church of the Laodicean. Not in Laodicea, not of Laodicea, but the church of the Laodiceans. And I wondered why it is like that. But I will leave that for some other time. But what I see here is a serious indictment of this church. A serious indictment of this church. Yes, he said to the other churches, I know thy works. But in this case, he says, this church is neither cold nor hot. And he went on to say, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I don't know how you feel about things that you take into your body, but I am one of them who don't like things that are to be hot. I like them to be hot. I don't like cold tea, unless it's iced tea. Anything that is supposed to be hot, I like it to be well hot. I don't like cold soup. It tastes insipid to me. So I can imagine how Jesus felt when he looked at this church and said, you are neither cold nor hot, but you are lukewarm. You are insipid. I can't swallow you. I will spew you out of my mouth. And that, to me, is a serious indictment of these Christians, the Laodiceans. He said, I know thy works. Fine, that's good. I know where you are located. I know who you are. I know your mannerism. I know what is happening. And what is happening, I'm not pleased with it because you are neutral. I prefer if you were hot, then I know what to do with you. Or if you were cold, I know what to do with you. But because you are lukewarm, you are of no use to me. You are neutral. And I will spew you out of my mouth. I will get rid of you. I hope and I trust today that as we look into this word, that as Christians, we are not like the Laodiceans. And if so, we find ourselves like them, then today will be day when we ask God to change us and to make us the person or persons he wants us to be. So Jesus indicted this church because of her lukewarmness. And again, as I said, Jesus didn't say that this is not a church. It's a church. But their behavior is far different from the other six. Nowhere in the other six did he say that I'm going to get rid of you because you are lukewarm. You are neither hot nor cold. In Ephesus, he said, you have left your first love. And he encouraged the church to get back to his first to her first love. As you heard, Reverend Bardowell spoke so eloquently last week about Ephesus and the church at Ephesus. But here in the Laodiceans, they were, as it were, content in the state that they were in. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't know how you see it, my brothers and sisters, my friend. But I think that any time we find ourselves in a position where we feel that we have everything, We have need of nothing. We don't need anything from man. We don't need anything from God. I think we are in a serious position. Yes, we can achieve a lot of things, but we still need God. Hear what they said. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's very, very telling of these Laodiceans. But although they claim that they are rich, although they claim that they have enough goods and they are in need of nothing, Jesus said to them, "Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Contrast the two positions. The Laodicean says, "I am rich and increased with goods. I have a lot of goods. I have need of nothing." But Jesus said to them, "You are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And if Jesus said that you are miserable, you are miserable. If he said you are wretched, you are wretched. If he said you are poor and blind and naked, all of these are correct. He cannot lie. And so I want us to examine ourselves today. Because the temptation is that when we achieve or reach certain status in life, we think that we have it all made. And we are in need of nothing. But Jesus is saying that when you look at our situation, we are miserable, poor, naked, and blind. That is not to say that Jesus was against them achieving anything. He was not against them being rich. But what were they rich in? Rich in material things, but spiritually, they were poor. They have sufficient materially, but spiritually, they had things not sufficient to make them the persons that they are to be. So when Jesus issued this indictment on the church of Laodicea, he knew what was happening. He knew their status. They think that because they are rich and they have goods enough and they have garments enough, that they are okay. But Jesus is saying, or Jesus said to them, outside of me, you are nothing. Outside of me, it doesn't matter what you have, the wealth you have, your achievement, you are nothing. You are still poor. And there is no crime in being poor, if you look at it in certain ways. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That means those who don't think that they have enough. It doesn't matter what they have spiritually. They consider themselves as being poor. And so Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for to them belongs the kingdom of God." So here is this church exalting herself and saying, "I have enough. I am rich. I have clothes. I am in need of nothing." But the one who knows everything about the church, knows everything about you, knows everything about me, is saying, "You are wretched, you are poor, you are miserable, you are blind, and you are naked." So what's the remedy for this? If that is the case, what then should this church do? I am glad that Jesus didn't just indict the church. He didn't just indict this church and show them their condition. But he also instructs them as to what is to be done. And aren't we glad that we serve such a God who does not like to see us wallow in our mess, who does not want to see us in our self-pride and think that we have it all made and we have in need of nothing. Here he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So Jesus pointed out the state that they were in, and he also pointed out what they should do to get rid of the state that they were in, because they thought they were, you know, in a good state. But Jesus said that they were wretched. So he says that the wealth that you think you have, or the wealth that you have, cannot be compared to that which I have to offer you. The gold that has been tried in the fire, that's what I have to offer you. The wealth that you have will fade away. But when you get that which I have for you, it will last forever. Gold that is tried in the fire, that will make us rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Whatever raiment they were proud of having, whatever clothes they were proud of having, Jesus is saying to you, to them, and he's saying to you and I today, that is nothing to compare with the raiment that I have for those who would come and accept me, for those who will be of the true church of God. I want to clothe you in white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness will disappear. We can think that the things that we possess will put us in great stand with Jesus. Again, it's not that Jesus was against the wealth that they have, but he said that what you are trusting in, what you are believing in, what you think you have, and it will make you the person that you are to be, will pass away. It will perish. But that which I have to offer will stand forever. For Jesus said that a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And so, my brothers and sisters, don't think that today I am saying we shouldn't strive to have things, material things. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what Jesus said. But he says, when you have gotten all of these, how do I stand? Where do I stand in your life? Are you the one who will do anything, go at any length to achieve that which you want to achieve? And in the end, Jesus is not with you. It's not a part of your achievement. That's a serious indictment on us, as he indicted the church of the Laodiceans. So he says, what I offer, of the raiment that I have to offer you, will cover your nakedness, will get rid of our sins, will get rid of our pride, will get rid of our selfishness, and we will be placed in good stead with Jesus. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 12. Jesus told a parable there, and it's worthwhile if we would just look at it for a brief moment. St. Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to myself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich to God, toward God. Let me read that verse again. So is he that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus said to of this man, Thou fool. Again, it's not that Jesus was against his achievement, his wealth, and the increase of his crop. But if you notice, in all of what this man said, there is no mention of God. Everything was about himself. Soul, self, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Where is God in this? God is not in this. And so it is, my brother and sisters, we must be careful that we don't behave the way that this man behaved. There is no thought of, I don't think that all his crops were as a result of his labor. I think there were other people who have labored in his field so that he has this bountiful crops. And it doesn't matter how many seeds or whatever he might have sown. If God did not give the increase, then he would not have this bountiful crop. So God falls his rain upon the just and on the unjust. And so here is this man, not thinking of God, not thinking of those who have labored in his vineyard. But he said, soul, self, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But what is the conclusion God says? God said unto him, you're a fool. You are a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Whatever we achieve in this life, whatever status we reach, whatever our position, our possession, they will only last in this life, and they only bring temporary satisfaction. But the satisfaction that we get in Jesus, the satisfaction that we get in Jesus is everlasting. It lasts forever. Don't allow God to say of us, because of our trust in what we have, our achievements and our position, don't allow God to say to any of us, thou fool. That's a serious indictment. Regardless, in spite of all the wealth and how bountiful his crop was, God says you're a fool. In spite of where we might reach in life, how high our status is, how great our position is, if God is not in it, God is saying to us, you are a fool. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You can store all that you have, as the man says. This will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater barns, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, you are a fool. I think that's what Jesus is saying to the church at Ephesus. Because you think you have everything, you profess to be rich, you have raiment, you don't need of anything. Jesus said to them, you don't know your status. You are wretched, you are poor, blind, and naked. But I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and that thy raiment, and right raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. while we are on earth, while we are in this life, it's good that we can achieve things and enjoy it. The wise man Solomon says that we should eat and drink, for this is our labor under the sun. But in everything, he says, don't forget God. You must acknowledge that whatever you achieve, whatever your position or our possession, God is in the center of it. God is the head of it. So Jesus said to this church, I want to clothe you. I want to provide you gold. I want to anoint your eyes so that you can see, so that you can understand that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he had. This church, Laodicean church, wasn't like this all along. Whatever caused it to be so, I don't understand. But if you look at Colossians chapter 3, because Paul commended these people, you know, in Colossians chapter 4, reading from verse number 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet thee. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So you see, this church was in a good standing that Paul could commend this church and its communication through its letters to the other churches. So what happened over here now in Revelation? That they think that they have reached and they have achieved and they are in need of nothing. My beloved brothers and sisters, we have to be aware of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall, says the wise man. So this church was not like that before. For if it was so, Paul would not have commended them and asked that the letter of communication from them be read in the other churches, because that would be different. But Jesus didn't give up on this church, and I like what he said. When he says, I will clothe you and I will anoint your eye with eye salve, it says, as many. The reason why I'm doing this is because I love you. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't think that sometimes when things happen to you, when you don't see eye to eye with what has been said or done, that the person or individuals is against you. But see it as that person's love for you. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke. So if you do something or say something and you are rebuked of someone, look at it as if this person loves and cares about my situation. Sometimes it's for our good if we will take heed. And most times it will be for our good. Paul, in writing to Timothy, you know, he said that he should rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And today is not a day when Christians like to be rebuked. We like to be exhorted. We like to be exalted. But rebuke is a part of our growth. So Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. So Jesus said that I do these things so that you will see your situation, see your condition, and that you would repent. My brothers and sisters, when things said that you don't see eye to eye with, ask yourself, why was this thing said? When things happen to you that you don't understand and you don't agree with, ask yourself, for what reason? What is the purpose for this happening to me? And in the end, you will see that it's because of the love that God has for you. So today, let us, if we find ourselves as the Laodicean, listen to what Jesus has said to them and is saying to us today. He said, "Behold, look, I am standing at the door. Although you find yourself in such a situation where you think that you have need of nothing, of no one, because you are rich, you have food, you have raiment, you have everything that your soul could desire. One thing is lacking. You don't have Jesus as the controller of your life." Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he's not forcing himself on you. Jesus will never, ever force himself on any of us. He didn't do that with the church of Laodicea, although it was a church that was important that he would send a letter to the church. He was not forcing himself on it. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And this is a verse that many times we preach when we want sinners to be converted and so on. But if we look at it, this was written to the church, a church that was in a bad state, a church that said, "I don't need anything. I am okay." But in the end, they were in a bad state. But Jesus didn't force himself in the church. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." What an invitation. What a pleading. "I stand at the door and knock." Saved and unsaved today, can you hear Jesus knocking at your heart's door? Do you feel that knocking, that pleading? Or do you think that you are okay, just as the Laodiceans thought they were okay? But Jesus is saying to you today, you are not. And I'm standing and I'm knocking. Will you listen to my voice? He says, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, what a consolation. If you hear my voice, open the door. Not only will I come in, but I will have supper with you. I will sip with you and I will have supper with you. And in the end, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So Jesus knew that their condition, their situation could be changed as long as they were willing to do what he said. And he's saying to us today, our situation, our conditions can be changed and will be changed if we will open up to him, if we will allow him to have control of our lives. Don't think that I have reached, I have everything, and I don't need anything from anyone. I don't need God to tell me what to do, where to go, what to say. He's saying to us today, we are naked, we are wretched, we are miserable, we are poor, and we are blind. But if we open up to him, he will come in. If we hear his voice, open the door, he will come in and will sup with us. He will eat with us and he with me. And then in the end he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. What a consolation. Jesus is calling today. Jesus is speaking today. Don't let the indictment against us be as the man who thought he had enough and said, "Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God says, "Thou art a fool. this night, with all the goods that you have, with all your achievement, your position and your possession, tonight, death is at your door. And who shall those things be? Am I saying you are going to die today? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because you must understand that when Jesus says today, the psalmist says that 1,000 years in thy sight is like yesterday when it is gone. So, my encouragement to us today, if we find ourselves in the position of the Laodicean, maybe we didn't know or realize that I was in such a position, but know that you have heard the word and you examine yourselves, then it's time for you to open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Let him have his way in you. Let him come in with you. Let him sup with you. And let him give you the assurance that when you do these things, a place is reserved for you in his kingdom, around his Father's throne. He says, "That hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Has God spoken to you today? Is he knocking at your door? If so, open your doors. Let him in. There's a stranger at your door. Let him. He has been there often before. Let him in. And he won't force himself in. It's for us to open the door and let him come in. I hope that whether we are saved or unsaved today, we will open our heart's door to Jesus and not be like that rich man that Jesus says, "You're a fool," or like the Laodiceans, whom he says that you think you have it, but you are naked, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor. But in the end, he said, "If you open the door, I will come in and I will sup with you and you with me." May God help us today. May God bless you. May you examine yourselves in the light of the word that you have heard and make the decision that I will open the door. I will let Jesus in. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the listeners. I pray, Lord, that they will not just be hearers of your words today, but they will be doers. I thank you for those who are listening and have not fully committed to you. I pray that this will be the day when they said, "Come into my heart, Jesus. You have been knocking. I've heard you knocking for so many years, for so often. But today I'm opening up my door to you. Come in, Lord. I want to sup with you. I want to be with you wherever you are." Thank you for your words today. Thank you for everyone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's almost time to close, but we have to do the Lord's Supper. So wherever you are, just get your bread, your wine, and let us prepare to have Lord's Supper together. I hope that soon and very soon we will be in a position where we don't have to rush, but we will have time to celebrate such an important ordinance like the Lord's Supper, as Jesus says it. "As often as you do eat this bread and drink my blood, you do show forth my death until I come." So my brothers and my sisters, take the bread in your hand as we prepare for this supper. The night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to his disciples and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, you do show forth my death until I come." So my brothers, my sisters, eat. Eat ye, all of it. Eat, and your soul shall live. This cup represents the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said to the disciples that he would not drink it with them again until that day when he drink it anew with them in his Father's kingdom. As we look forward, as we have opened our hearts to him and look forward to be with him around the throne of his Father, then we will drink anew with him. So my beloved brothers and sisters, drink. Drink. Drink ye all of it. Drink, and your soul shall live. Thank you very much. And before we pronounce the benediction, again, just a reminder that next week we plan to do a new thing. And as was said by the secretary, everything that we plan to do or hope to do is online, is on the website, is on the WhatsApp page. So check it out. We don't want to leave out anyone. And the reason why we have to do things how we are doing it, we can say, everybody come next week. We have to have a phase resumption. Remember that we are still in what we call pandemic, and we are limited in the amount of people that we are allowed in the sanctuary at this time. But we are praying and trusting God that as time goes by, we will find ourselves being able to accommodate more people in our church. Never thought that in my lifetime, apart from inviting sinners to the Lord to be saved and so on, that you will have to have an invitation where you tell people when they can come or how many can come. So bear with us as you understand what is happening, and I'm sure God knows why this is happening, and he will make a way for us. So God bless you, and thank you very much for sharing with us today. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thanks again for listening. Hope that I have not burdened you down. And I pray that the rest of your day will be a blessed one. God bless you.